Hallelujah. Somebody with me? Okay, yeah, you like stories. So he was going in, he was supposed to get admission after a while of not being able to have money to go to school. So now money came. So the day he was to get enrolled into secondary school. What happened? So on getting to town, he just started hearing that there is war coming. Then he didn't really know what was war. What is it? He now uses a word. He called the name Ogbunigwe. So then that is boom like that. He said tree fell and it was hitting. Like I said, that is home. What is Ogbunigwe? He did. He tried to explain with everything he could. Like, I don't know. It's a locally manufactured gun. As a, I don't know it. Hallelujah. I don't know it. Yeah, there are times when he begins to say some things like that. The only time I could actually factor some of those things, maybe I have seen a picture of it in one book. Did you get it? Little tell me to carry his box, iron metallic box. You know what call iron box? You know iron box? That thing is pride in those days. You carry it on your head. You go to school with all your writing material. In fact, in his day, they use chalk. Put it inside a box on top of your head. Explain that to Sophia. And say, you know, she can't get it. Right? She can't get it. Box. So, why today some people carry their book and put it in their back pocket and go for it? Jesus, hallelujah, that's in that world. So I must have to go back to that world and see that it's well. In fact, when my father told me the first time he saw a television, I was like, so your life, no, your life from, and I was also asking him a question when I said, why do you live your day? You know, today, you can, you know, imagine my father used to tell my daughter that phone that
just came out in 2009.
This is not my phone. Not because of that. Meaning you don't know cocoa melon. Cocoa what? Cocoa melon? What's that? I mean, how can you, today, a child today will have the father. Can you stay without YouTube, Facebook? So there was no Facebook. Do you get hallelujah? Or how can I explain to, do you know what they call table tennis? I mean, table soccer. You know what they call cantaball? Before ever you ever know of anything called PA, it was cantaball. You know cantaball? All my uniforms had no button. That is table soccer. I have no button. To the point that when my mom sewed clothes on me, he warned me. If I can't, if one. So, they warned me about my school before and I started doing something. All my old clothes. That means if you touch my school pocket, you will see button. Because I'll play. I will know how to set the pose. You know, you put your table, your. Ah, children are missing. You now turn the button well, the side that is inside, put it inside, it will go up. You put it down, it will hit. You now set your hand. Hallelujah. No, how can you explain it to a child today? They will tell you, no, it's not, it's FIFA. P.S. Hallelujah. So you have to go back to that world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Jesus identifies his audience, and just like Moses, you know, you now, you understand what cantaball is, right? You understand all those parables and all the, now you understand it because we're in the same world, right? But somebody that wants to get to understand, maybe generations after, want to understand what I'm writing about and I put the cantaball, It was not too long I began to understand what Ken Hagin was writing on his book when he writes personage. You know, is it personage or pastoral? I did not know. Bim! I shall know I was reading it in Ken Hagin's book. Hallelujah! I just knew I was reading something there. I didn't know the meaning. Amen. And I said, and I was playing ball in my donut. What's donut? Hallelujah. So the whole lot we have in our own day. So are you unbelieving that I'm using donut? I'm using figure of speech. No. Because that is it. I said all this because of the fact that parables or figure of speech are the simplest form of words that could be understood by the audience. Do you understand? Are you getting it? You see all these things I'm doing? We roll, we do this. It's because it's the simplest. Right? So, Moses will employ parables, will employ figure of speech obtainable in their day. Moses, you will not find Moses give and the information which is the data when processed. No, because that was not that day, those days were not what? Digital day. Are you following me? Eh? Just die star 737. How? Why are you dialing it on the sandstone or where? Glory to God. Are you following that? Amen. Amen. So it was the simplest form that was obtainable in that day. Therefore, I have to go back to their day to understand the use of words. So those words will not be employed to further explain what he was trying to tell them. Are you following me? So just like Moses, Jesus too will use parables to explain to them the things concerning the resurrection. So these things the apostles will explain in their sermons also. Are you following me? Are you following me? The apostles will explain in their sermons. And what will be their sermons also? The epistles. Right? They will explain the actions of Jesus in the incarnation. What this implies is that the epistles are not just explanation of the Old Testament books, but also explanation of the incarnation. Are you following me? They will also explain it. The incarnation and the event of the incarnation. That was why in John 2, from verse 21, what we read, right? The Bible says, and look at that John 2 again. Just remember that we read it in the last session. So this is a different session. We have to read it again. John 2. Are you on me? Verses 21. Verses 20. No. Verse 19. Jesus said, destroy this temple and I will build it in 3 days. Remember what? I wanted to do this earlier, but let me do it. Look at John 1. Remember, look at John 2 1. He was in the Cana of Galilee. Right? Is it Cana of Galilee? John 2. Wedding at Cana, sorry, he was in the Cana of Galilee, the wedding there. Now, when he was done in that wedding, he turned water to wine, right? Okay, we'll do that when I'm teaching us on John. And this is what I'm going to say, hallelujah, when I get to teach us on John anytime. You see how John shows, you know, John, you just see John's hermeneutics. You see that Jesus was found in Cana of Galilee, the wedding. When he was done with the miracle, right? You see him in the temple. Hallelujah. It's theology. Hallelujah. It's theology. It's an explanation, but not for today. Now you find him in the temple. Now he's inside the temple. He began to destroy what they were doing. He scattered the tables. Did you get? He destroyed the temple. The tables and the money exchangers. And when they came at him, what did he tell them? He said, make not my father's house a den of thieves. He said, my father's house, another account of the pagan, I said, my father's house should be called a house of prayer for all nations.
He's teaching. He's a teaching. Hallelujah. And, you know, in answer to them, he said, destroy this temple. He was in the temple, right in the temple. He said, destroy this temple. God said, and I'll build it in 3 days.
Remember, the disciples didn't know what was happening. They didn't even understand what he was saying.
In their mind, they'll be like, Peter, to Andrew, Shepherd. For fishermen will become more workers. Because what took 46 years? Master wants to build it in 3 days. 3 days.
Ah! Did you get? Jumbo balls!
And soup. You know, things like that. And they were angry. Not them, the Pharisees, they were angry. What took 46 years? You say you build it in 3 days? Now look at verse 21. Verse 20 rather. It says, and I mean 21. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. They knew this had the resurrection. Why? Verse 22 shows us that when he had arisen from the dead, the disciples remembered that he said to them, and they believed the scriptures. Right? So they knew this is the resurrection. So in the resurrection, it was explained to them. Fine. Fine. It was explained to them. So they cannot understand that. He was talking about his body. So it was when he was in the temple, I said, destroy this temple. He was referring to his body. Right? Now, because they know that now, from the resurrection, they cannot teach it. You know, Jesus will not just tell them the answer. He will teach it, right? And that is why their eyes were opened. Wow. So the temple was all about your body. Did you get? Did you get? And, you know, temple was used for worship. So when he now says, my father's house should be a house of prayer, worship for all nations. Are you following me? Are you following me? Meaning every nation will be found there in the temple. Every nation will be used of what? People will be found in the Father's house. Did you get that? Are you following me? So the temple is, now that means everyone will be found in the temple, or the temple will be found in everyone. Are you following that? So the temple will not be a building, but a place of worship. It will be used for worship. Are you following? So they will get that from the resurrection, the explanation in the resurrection. See me, are you following me? I'm concerned about you. Are you following me? Are you getting what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I can't ask you. Can you be looking at me? Glory to God. Amen. I know my people and my people know you. They which come late. I want to use some words. What do you see? Pastor is not showing you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So where were we? That's the place. I'm still there. Amen. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. So now, that will now form how they will teach the temple. They will not teach the temple as a physical place of worship. No. No. Hallelujah. Because Jesus has taught them now. They will now teach the temple as the body in the resurrection. Glory to God. Which is the place of worship? The Father's house. Are you following me? The Father's house. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Paul is teaching it now. It says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you see that? Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Glory to God. You find it also in chapter 6, verses 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? The temple. Stephen. In Acts 7, that should be 54 now. Acts 7, are you there? No?
That should be 40. Let's read from 46. And found favor before God and Jacob, and asked for a dwelling place of God of Jacob. That should be, let's go back to 45. He said, our father, having received in turn, also brought with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God, David, and asked to find a dwelling place for God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in the temples made with hands, as the prophet says. Did you see that? As the prophet says, heaven is my throne. He says, and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all things? Did you see that? So that narrative of building God a temple. Is actually, are you following me? Is actually Moses writing to them of what God will do. Do you get? Do you get? Of what God will do. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. A place of worship. And where will Moses be writing it for? Moses will also be writing from Abraham. Because Abraham makes us see that the sacrifice is God that provides the sacrifice. And sacrifices are used for worship. So it's God that provides the sacrifice. God does provide the sacrifice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this explanation by the epistles or by the by the apostles will follow Christ's explanation within the 40 days to them. So the story of the thief also, I call it thief in my notes, the story of the thief, that is the brother on the cross with Jesus, is also told by Jesus. Hope you know that. Jesus will have to tell that story himself. Because none of them knew of the conversation on the tree. Are you following me? None of them knew. None of them knew. So Jesus will have to tell that story. And why would Jesus tell that story? Is it to show braggado? No! Jesus will tell the story so we would know that it is not of works that a man is justified, but faith. Did you see that? So that story is told so that you know it's not of works, but faith. A man is justified by faith. So you will now find that teaching of what? Faith. A man being justified by faith and not by works in the teachings of the apostles. You find it all true. You will not find them teach works to be saved. You'll find them teach to believe so that you'll be saved. You'll find them teach believing for salvation, not works for salvation. Are you following me? So Jesus will tell that story also. Will Jesus tell that story just like that? No, he will tell that story and explain it through scriptures. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. I don't want to say this today, but I'll say it subsequently as the year goes by. Remember, I asked you a question. Will the four gospels stand alone or will it be dependent? I wanted to say it now, but I decided to keep it for now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, Paul will explain that to in Ephesians 2:8 into 9. Is it not of works? Ephesians 2:8 says, Paul, by grace. Hallelujah. By grace we are saved. Ephesians 2, verses 9. 8 into 9. Say, for by grace you have been saved. Through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works. This any man should boast. Where will he be writing from? Where will he be writing from? He will be writing from the words of Moses, right? Also, in the background, we will have the story of the brother on the cross with Jesus. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So, Jesus also will tell the story to let them know that a thief was the first to get to heaven, to get to see the kingdom. Not even them. How about that for a message? For evangelism. Glory to God. A thief saw it fall. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So back to John 1:18, we're going to draw the curtain today. So we said earlier that incarnation is an explanation of God in the scriptures. So we said it will be done by Christ. So we said earlier that the incarnation is an explanation of God in the scriptures, right? It will be done looking at Christ's activities and his words. Therefore, we can say that the revelation of God is in Christ. That was what we said. And in saying this, from Matthew 19:8, that means in Christ's actions, in Christ's activities, God is explained. We can find God explained. Hallelujah. In Christ's actions. So that means, when we get to Matthew 19:8, Mark 4, when Jesus spoke to the wind, the boisterous wind. When Jesus spoke to the boisterous wind, he shows that the wind was not from God. You know, sometimes people will ask a question, did God do it? You know, people ask that question, did God do it? Was it God that sent that wind so that you will learn to fear him? No, God doesn't. God doesn't. So Jesus rebuking the wind and the waves shows it was not from God. Are you following me? Glory to God. Amen. Look at John 8 before we get to Matthew 19. John 8 quickly. Is it John 8 now or John 9? A second, just give me a minute. Okay, John 9 verse 1. Now Jesus passed by. He saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciple asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned this man or his parents that he was born blind? Did God make him blind? Who sinned? Is it God? Is it this boy or his parents? Did you see that? Now, the way many people have read it, they read it in such a way that you will think that God actually did it so that he will show his glory. No. Hallelujah. Read the next verse together. Let's read the next verse together. One, two, go. Hallelujah. Did you see that verse? So if you read it, you're like, wow, this man was born blind so that God will show his glory. So God did it, right? Right? But that was not what Jesus answered them. Because the major fact that Jesus heals the sick is a pointer that God has no business with sickness. Because the word to heal implies to make it as it was supposed to be. So that means that was not how it was supposed to be. Are you following me? So, what was Jesus' response in verse 2? Jesus answered and said, neither this man nor his parents sin. Now, that is where you should have the full stop. But you know, another challenge you would have in Bible. Now, what you have as translations, King James, NIV, are you following me? Look up now. Leave what you're writing. Look up. What you have as translations there, that is the King James, the NIV, the New Living Standard, and every Amplified and thereabout, are not actually translations. They are actually what? Interpretations. Did you get me? They are interpretations. Are you following me? Now, when you read the Greek, another challenge you would have, are you following me? In reading the Greek, especially the Greek, the way it was written, also too with the Hebrew, is they had no punctuation marks. Punctuation marks were just introduced recently, not up to 100 years or thereabouts. Are you following me? So that would be a challenge. So they just write without punctuations. Glory to God. Are you following me? Amen. So now that is also another word,
barrier you got to cross. Putting in the punctuations. Amen. Amen. The Greek, if a man who is a Greek scholar is to read that, he wouldn't read that the way you've read it. Because they would understand. Hallelujah. But you know, we can have a fallback. We have a textbook, right? Textbook, you'll have to rush down to Exodus chapter 15, verse 26 to see that God doesn't actually impute sickness. He is called the Rapha. Rapha is a physician. A physician doesn't bring sicknesses. A physician cures the sicknesses. Are you following? That is how a physician is used in those days. A physician is not used for a one woman who brings sickness. He's one who cures it. Are you following me? So that will inform how I will read this now. Glory to God. So if I am to interpret this, are you following me? If I am, because every Bible teacher is an interpreter. Glory to God. So what you have in front of you is an interpretation. So if I'm to interpret, the punctuation should come after the word the parents say. So it will be read like this. Jesus has answered, neither did this man nor his parents sin. So Jesus has answered that question. Are you following? Is it the question is it this man or his parents that sin? Jesus said, it's neither of them, not the man nor his parents. Hallelujah. So to me, verse 2 will start from there. Now, listen to verse 2. Now, that would be a full stop. That word, but, is actually not in the original. So, you will have that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must walk the walk of he that sent me by day. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Are you following me? I must walk the walk of it. So it goes into verse 3. So that's what you have as verse 2 or verse 3. It should be collapsed together. I must walk the walk of he that sent me by then. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why is there? He said, the night comes where no man can walk. Say, as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus answers that question and moves ahead. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that action shows you that God has got no involvement in sickness. God doesn't. We'll get to see that too. As we get to as we teach healing. Hallelujah. We get to see that also. Glory to God. So in Matthew 19:8, when he says Moses, because that word, because of the word pro, mosaos pro sclerocardia, Moses, in view of the hardness of your heart, gave you the bill of divorcement. That means the bill of divorcement was, the word bill of divorcement was actually, I don't want to call it an intervention, but though it is an intervention, it's God's intervention in what was happening in their world. Because their world was crazy. In fact, let me tell you what happens in their world. Am I supposed to do that now? Okay, let me just say that. If you kill a woman, you don't just put her away and kill her and put her away. It's done. Do you get? Women were treated as rats in their world. Are you following me? Glory to God. Were treated as slaves. So, I'm thinking, this is GPL. When we look at Jesus' women, feminism, but to bring it out. So, it's not a question. So, I put my mind up. So, that no, if I change, you will not go back. You shake your sword and you cover me. But when you look at Jesus, after a bit, Jesus is real. The apostles to the apostles, something like that. You know, good men are apostles to the apostles. The apostles had an apostle. You know, they are. So I'm going to teach differences to them. For not to support feminism, but to bring the balance. That will lose our heart. So it's going to be in there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm giving you, and I'm telling you, I'm giving myself. Let me come out of books and wear it. It's a big tax for myself. I've got to do it. I think we're going to do that. No.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, where was I?
Okay, 19.
So when Jesus said Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. So we said that hardness of heart. Okay, let me see if I have it here. Okay, I have it here. So that hardness of heart will be God's intervention, but it will be Moses watering down that practice that they had in their world. Hallelujah. They had in their world. So rather than killing her and throwing her out, or throwing her out, you know, and making her miserable, why not just give her a bit of divorcement? Do you get it? Why would you beat her? You don't want her again? Why would you kill her? Give her a bit of divorcement. Now she can go. Do you get it? So Moses was pushing. So he was bringing, he was allowing some of these things. Hallelujah. That was, and it could be seen as God's intervention. Hallelujah. It's God's intervention in that situation. Because that world was a brutal world, where they lived in. That world was a brutal world. Where you take my thing. I don't need to call police. No, I'll kill you. Kill you and they will give me reward. You get? Eh? Give me reward. Amen. Kill you and give me reward. So, but you know, many times Moses will now water down some of those things. I'm not teaching that yet. Not that I'm teaching it next year, or next 2 years, or next 5 years. So calm down.
Amen. We're getting there. Glory to God.
We're getting there. So, remember, they were not who Moses wrote to directly, but what Jesus has done, as we've said earlier, was to unite his audience with that of Moses. So, what Jesus points out for us to see is that hardness of heart is not God's work, because God doesn't harden people's hearts. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. So, did God harden people's hearts? No! 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 Just like a question, a friend of mine, my friend will have to answer yes back. We were totally wrong in our answer. But you know, because we were lazy, we just said there are some people destined for hell. God has done it that way from the foundations of the world. Interesting. But that's stupidity. I believe it's stupidity to say that. From the foundations of the world, God has destined the man for hell. Are you okay? But we say that. Hallelujah. You know, we say, God hardened his heart. You know, have you heard somebody say, when God wants to deal with the man, he will make that man come in contest with a believer. Have you not heard that? If you've not heard it, you heard it from me. Have you not heard that? When you come in contact with a believer, the Bible says they shall be granted into power. How interesting. Hallelujah. How interesting. No. So God brings someone because he wants to kill the deal with the person. He brings the person to doom. Does God do that? You know, these are questions that many more will be answering as we look at this, on this topic. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. But maybe not this year, but several years as we proceed, you will see that I will answer that. So, God doesn't harden. So, Moses' response response or action. Because of the hardness of their heart, we show God always wants to get to man to rescue man.
Mostly because of the hardness of heart do this. So it shows you. Remember I told you the reason why Moses has to water it down, right? So it shows you God always wants to get to man. God always wants to get to man. When I mean get to man, God always wants to have man saved. Right from Adam. Right from Adam. Adam sinned. What happened? They were chased out, right? From the Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden of the Lord. They were naked, right? Right? But did God abandon them? No. God still visited them. Did you see that? God still visited them. God still did. He still did. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Did God not visit them? God still did.
Amen. Amen. So God always wants to get to man, to rescue man. So because of the hardness of their heart, Moses used parables, figures of speech in those days.
Use parables, use figures of speech.
He waters down consequences of actions. Hallelujah. Water down consequences of actions to show God's intervention in man's issue. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Then you begin to have the concept somebody does wrong against you, instead of to stone the person to death, you know, Moses will now say, okay, you know what, rather than carry stone, you know that is very quick, carry stone and stone. They will stone you to death. Do not think that that culture ended. They did it to Paul. He was taken for dead. Meaning he was stoned blackout. You don't know. Yes, ma'am. Glory to God. Paul now narrated the story in Galatians. How he was. I'm serious. They stoned him. But Moses was like, okay, before you carry big stones, you know what? Carry small stone. You get it? When you carry that big stone, carry small stone. You know what? Before you use the small stone, what about you have somebody that will judge the matter? Did you see? Let somebody judge it. So before you carry stone, carry this one. I now remember you have to go and see judge. How many of you have done that to your parents? They want to flog you. And you are now doing the day tactics. You now get tired, I get out. I did that a lot. I did that a lot. I had several delay tactics in my brain. Delay taxes. Let me delay. Let me delay. Let me prolong it. Come on, get out! Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Have you taken your parents on a run before? Amen. And the flog you, you say, okay. Okay. Pya! And then when you are caught. They are gasping for air, Business, and we try this one, I'll slap it, I'll wound you. Get up! They don't have that sense of flood anymore. Delay taxes. Have a lot in my brain, you know? Anyway. But, you know, Moses was doing that to water it down. Trying to water down the practice in that world. You see, you have to look at that, you have to get to that world to see.
Glory to God.
So can we call geography? How do you see this? But geography is part of theology. Hallelujah. Geography. Let me not even call it geography. How would I call that? Is it background now or geography? Geography, right? Not geography, it's then geography. I think geography is. Okay, geography. Geography is theology. Or is, see, theology can be read from geography. Look at that practice. Look at God's intervention. Remember last week I told us that Salvation is God's intervention in man's activities, right? I said that to us last week. It's God's intervention in man's activities. So, meaning, if I read the activities of men, I will find God explained. And God will be seen. And what will God be doing? What will you find God speaking about? You'll find him speak about salvation. You'll find his intervention in man's activities. Man's problem. Hallelujah. God intervened in man's problem. Man's issues. Man's problem. Hallelujah. 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 So Moses uses parables. Moses uses figures of speech. Moses waters things down. Water things down so that they don't carry on with their brutal nature. Are you following me? Brutal nature. You steal from me, I kill you. So before I kill you, Moses will not say, why not if he pays you back, he steals a goat, he pays you back two goats. Will you still kill him? I lost one goat. He pays me back two. Will you still kill him? No. I'll collect it. Did you see that? He steals your goat. What if he pays you two times the money? Gives you cash. Two times. Will you still kill him? If he can pay me the money, I will not kill him. Did you see? He's watching that. Is that not God's intervention? God is intervening. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I will read God's intervention in the activities of men. The activities of men. So, use of parables, use of those things, or figures of speech, are the simplest form of communication. Simplest form of communication. Watering down is simplest form of judging issues. Simplest form of judging issues rather than taking on the brutal approach. So, this is to show you that what God was after man. Hallelujah. God was after man. He yet used to show he was after man, he yet used simplified language to get to them, water things down so that they don't become brutal and kill themselves. Hallelujah. So we can now see those parables. I wrote that today. You can now see those parables as God's intervention. God's intervention. God's intervention. To make so that man would believe. But as it were, you will not find God giving those parables. Who will you find giving those parables? The prophets, Moses and the prophets, right? You find those parables coming from the writers. But why do you say it's God's intervention? Because God will always use man. God will always use man. He will always use man's language. Hebrew is man's language. God will always use man's what is available to man. Hallelujah. And what is available is parables. So parables, since parables and figures of speech, when the children of Israel hears tree of life, it's not hard for them to understand. That audience know what tree of life is. That audience know, do you understand? They know what it is. Glory to God. They know what it is. So it's the simplest form of communicating to them. Hallelujah. Is you today in your world, hear tree of life and you're looking for a Bible. It's your world. That want to narrate tree of life to today. Tree of life. Somebody calls it his fornication. Are you okay? Are you mad? See it? Because you are reading your word into that world. But that word understands. Glory to God. Do you understand? So that was the simplest one, and that is God's intervention. God is using what is simple to them to try to get their attention. This is what I will do. For you know, unbelief causes a mental blockage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So, also, Jesus' response to them showed that the hardness of heart is towards the gospel. It's towards the gospel preached from Genesis. That's what Jesus shows us. It's towards the gospel. Moses, because of the hardness of the heart, suffered you to preach the wise. But from the beginning, it was not so. What was in the beginning? God created them male and female. Shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife? And he was talking about salvation. Hallelujah. Salvation fact. So unbelief is towards what God has joined together in himself, which is male and female in him. That is unbelief. That is hardness of heart, sclerocardia. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. So also, Jesus Christ comes to them, as you said, shows that unbelief, hardness of heart, was the gospel preached from Genesis. So I can take a journey into the 39 books to see that all the time hardness of heart is used. It is used to qualify. All the time hardness of heart is used to qualify anyone, the gospel is within the background. The gospel is being told within the background. A journey we will take from next week. A journey we will take from next week, looking at all the time it was used in the 39 books. We will look at everything in this teaching. And we will explore that word, hardness of heart. Remember we said, when you look at the word in the Greek, it is an interpretation from a textbook, right? And what is where is it interpreted from? The Hebrew text. So I will have to go back again, right? To see what the translators of the Greek crossed, how they crossed, right? So I will look at it to see how they crossed to Greek. Then I will be able to cross over to from Greek to English. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Because in crossing sometimes from Hebrew to Greek, those words might lose its import. That when I now translate it from the Greek itself down to English, I will have watered everything down. It will have no meaning anymore. So I have to look at it. Hallelujah. And follow it. Remember, in the introduction, and this is where I said the introduction we did during GPL Act is very, very vital to our study. And you have to get to it. I'm saying to you, you have to get to it. I said something in the introduction. I said the Old Testament book, the 39 books, is sufficient to explain itself. I said that. And we are going to see it as we journey through. Hallelujah. And we'll then see that what they had in the New Testament, what we call the New Testament section of the Bible, the synoptic and their pieces, is an interpretation. Hallelujah. An interpretation, an explanation. Glory to God. Remember we said, Philip needed was, and Nathanael, all they needed was Genesis to Malachi, and they knew there was a Messiah. And they knew Jesus was that Messiah. Are you believing? All that the Pharisees needed was Genesis to Malachi, and they knew heaven is not where you go to. Heaven is what comes to you. Are you following me? They knew the kingdom is what comes to you. They knew. So that means the Old Testament book, the 39 book, are self-sufficient to explain itself. Now that we now have 66, which is the four gospels and the synoptic and the epistles, is an added advantage for us. Hallelujah. You don't know? Yeah. Because it is now made simple. We can now read through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, we said we are taking a journey back. And the way we are taking this journey back, we're not reading the 39 books in isolation of itself. We have not gotten to that point. Now we're reading the four gospels, which is the synoptic and the epistles in isolation of themselves. So we're going to read the explanation of the 39 books with the explanation in the synoptic and where? And the epistles. That is the journey we are taking first. We're not getting fully into the 39 books to explain it in itself, but that becomes a background for what we will look at in the years to come. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Do you understand what I just said? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the word hardness of heart, when it looks as if I've ended, but no, is the word sclerocardia.
This my teaching today is wonderful. It has gone off.
Amen. So the word hardness of heart is the word sclerocardia, used in Mark 10 verse 5, the same scenario, the same event that we just read in Matthew chapter 19. You find it in Mark 16 verse 14. Mark 16:14. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table and rebuked their unbelief, that is hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. They did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So the disciples, it's used for the disciples when the message of the resurrection was told. They were stiff-necked. That's the word, stiff-necked. They were stiffened. They were stiffened because of the hardness of their heart. So it's used to for unbelief concerning the resurrection. They didn't believe the message. And that word is from the word scleruno. We'll see that next week. We'll see that, how to actually know the meaning of words. Hallelujah. We'll see that too. Hallelujah. Scleruno. We'll look at that from next week. Hallelujah. And when I mean we'll look at that, we'll look at the import of that word from the Hebrew. The import of that word scleruno from the Hebrew. So this that word implies to be hardened. Hardened. Used by the writer of Hebrews. In Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4:7 for unbelief. Hebrews 3 for verse 8 to 15 and chapter 4 verse 7 for unbelief towards the gospel preached. In Acts 19:9, when Paul was in Ephesus, Acts 19:9, the Bible says they did not believe. Spoke about those who didn't believe, Acts 19. And this is where we round up today, Acts 19:9. But when some, he said, but when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in one school of Tyrannus. So it's used for unbelief towards the gospel. Hallelujah. When Paul taught in Ephesus. Glory to God. So when that word unbelief is used, Jesus shows us that it is towards the gospel. And we've seen from the epistles and the synoptic, which we'll later still see much more next week, that it's used towards, it's, the gospel is always within the background when that word is used. And that word is used, the gospel is always within the background. It's used for unbelief towards the gospel. So, you know, we can see that. That is how it's explained. So we can see that and reread. Do you get that? By looking at Christ, who is the explanation of the scriptures, right? We can use that and then reread the word hardness of heart is used in the Old Testament books. And you know what? We would arrive at the same conclusion, that is all towards the gospel. Hallelujah. We'll see that next week. Hallelujah. It's towards the gospel. So we'll now answer that question. Did God harden Pharaoh's heart? We'll answer that question again. Hallelujah. This time will be much more deliberate. Hallelujah. And much more explanatory. Did God harden the heart of them? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Did God send, let me not get there. I'll say that off the mic. Did God send a flood? Or did God have sent a flood in the days of Noah? These are many more questions. Hallelujah. Did God do it? Did God do it? Does God kill? Does God kill? Did God do it? You know, as we get into this study much more into the years, our understanding about God will be embroidered. Hallelujah. 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 It will be. So we'll get to know and see from the scripture God for who he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet.
Just worship him.